I work on and around the polluted lake and large river that flows through my hometown. It took me some time to get used to the boat and everything, but nowadays, I know the ins and outs of these watery parts pretty well. That is to say, I've met most of the things in the water more than once. The first time I got eye to eye with one of them happened not too long after I took this job. It was a cloudy day, and I was dreading the moment it would start to rain. The blonde woman, whose name, as I learned, was Miranda, had shown me the small boardwalk next to the hut where I was supposed to tie up the boat. It wouldn't leave the water. The hut was more like a stand, a roof built on the dry land that reached over the portion of the river's edge. There was an opening on its side, through which one could climb onto the boardwalk after making sure the boat was in place and sheltered from the weather. I would have gladly parked it there and called it a day, but I was certain there would be another bag for me to dump, so I had to stay out. So there I was, waiting on the lake, leaning back in my front seat, and in the process of drifting off, a waking slumber kind of state, when the water around me began to stir. A bit puzzled, I leaned over the side to check, but there was nothing there. Suddenly I heard a splashing to my right, like something had been thrown into the water. I would have expected someone to be standing on the dry ground a bit further off, maybe even one of Miranda's co-workers there to bring me a bag and trying to get my attention. Upon looking around though, I found that I was alone. I felt a slight chill as I watched the ripples spread. Normally this happens all the time, it's a lake after all, but a sound I'd rather heard before had been louder than what rang natural to me, and the splashes were bigger too. I tried to sit still nonetheless. If none of Miranda's guys would stop by come sunset, I'd pack up my things and head home either way. It could be only a matter of half an hour or so until then. When the splashing started up again, I tried to ignore it at first. It sounded like something was moving around me, breaking the surface of the lake from time to time and then diving right back underneath. Soon enough, the sounds had grown too close to pretend they weren't there, and when there was an especially loud one right behind me, I spun around so fast the boat shook a little. I was just in time to catch a glimpse of something red drawing back beneath the black veil of dirty water. My heart sunk. Squinting, I turned in my seat, grabbing onto the backrest as I carefully leaned over the side. The thing I had seen had been a copper type of color, and it had almost moved like wet fabric. However, now I couldn't make it out anywhere. The only thing I could tell for certain, though, was that this was not normal. I was not alone out here. I took out my phone, contemplating what to do. I sent a text to a contact I had only saved as an unknown number. This person had messaged me out of the blue a few days earlier, saying I could talk to them if I needed advice, but more on that later. Either way, this is what I asked them. I saw something red in the water. Their response was immediate. Like red blood? No, I don't know, it was brighter, and it wasn't blood. Was it hair? I hadn't thought of that. They were right though, the way it had moved, it could very well have been hair. It might, I think so. If it was hair, it's attached to a head. I don't know who you saw. Be nice. Who did I see? I was beginning to grow nervous. You'll find out soon enough. Just be nice. Can it hurt me? Definitely. My blood ran cold. These replies were doing nothing to ease my mind. Yeah, I'm out of here. No! Yes, they wrote that with 3 exclamation marks. I was about to tell them I wouldn't stay around to find about what was there with me when they added something else. If you leave now, you'll make him angry. Then he'll hurt you for sure. Sit tight and wait. I tucked my phone away and stared at the water with wide eyes. At that point, I was absolutely terrified. When the next splash came to my ears, I nearly jumped in my seat. I know what I did next was stupid. Everyone I've told this so far said so, but I think it's still pretty understandable, especially seeing as I was panicking. So, I would always take some snacks to work with me, and I hadn't eaten the 2 apples I brought yet. That was because they turned out really hard to chew, and I had a toothache at the time already. Those things could have made for a great cannonballs. That must have been what I was thinking when I grabbed one of them and leaned over the edge of the boat, waiting for the copper-haired reaper again. It was like my chat buddy had said. Were there hairs? there's gotta be a head. It took a whole minute of sitting and waiting in nervous silence for the red trance to come afloat once again. They were just within reach too. As I came in through the apple with all my force I could muster. I had figured the water would slow it down a bit, but I could still hear the thump when it hit the mark. The red drew back instantly, but the splash it made when it was doing so was not quite right. If you spend a lot of time on the water, you'll begin to differentiate between its various moods. I know calling the state of the river a mood will sound like a stretch, but on some days, I feel like this water might actually be alive. And not just because the many bad kinds of bacteria breeding in it. And right then, it sounded as though the river itself was furious. Something akin to a deep, quiet, growling noise came from somewhere beneath the surface. Bubbles rose from below as the black water began to shift and move around the boat, shaking it and forcing me to hold on to my seat. And then, from the opposite side, the one I was closest to, something shot out from the water. At least, that's what I realized had happened seconds later. When I felt the icy, wet hands wrap themselves around my shoulders from behind, I was too stunned to even think for a moment. There was someone there, though. Someone was in the water, and they were trying to pull me down. When I found myself able to move again, they had already dragged me off my seat, and I was barely clinging onto the edge of the boat anymore. The world was upside down, but I still caught flashes of the copper hair from this time to time as I struggled to stay aboard. My screams rang out across the entire lake, but there was no one to hear them. I grew even more panicked when I began to hear the sound of a raspy breathing behind me. I reached up to grope around the hands of whomever had gotten a hold of me. When I finally got a grip on them, I peeled them off my shoulder and spun around, scrambling as far away from the edge of the boat as I could. This time, the person could not retreat into the water in time to avoid my gaze. Stranger yet, the second I laid eyes on them, they fell completely still. They were only out of the water from their neck up, and their wet, stringy hair hung down to obscure the better part of their face, but I could still make out the look they were giving me. Utter shock. Their features hadn't softened enough for them to see a dare in headlights. Their previous anger was still shining through, granting them almost menacing appearance. I didn't dare to move or speak. I stared at the person in the water for what felt like an eternity, and they stared back. They didn't even blink. This might break the flow of my recounting, but I want everybody who reads this to remember this very moment as I described. Because that was the first time I saw fire. Eventually, the person gave a little snort and glanced down at the water as though they were about to dive under again. I still can't believe how fast I reacted when I noticed this. In the split second I had left before the stranger would draw back to continue attacking me, I somehow regained control of my body and, in obedience to some odd inspiration, I blurted out, "I'm sorry." The stranger's mouth opened again, but they didn't speak. They didn't go underneath, though, either. Instead, they had stopped mid-motion with their wide eyes looking up at me almost questioningly. "I'm so sorry," I repeated, my voice a little softer this time. "I shouldn't have hurt you. Please stop trying to pull me in, okay?" I don't know if this is exactly what I said, but it was something to that effect for sure. And it worked. The water gave a few quiet splashes as the person swam up to the boat again. I hadn't seen it earlier because of the long hair covering their face and the shock, but up close, I could tell it was a man. I remember thinking it was weird that there was so much hair on its head, but not a single patch of stubble on his face. He didn't even have eyebrows or lashes as far as I could tell. I took in a deep breath, shaky breath. "Are we good?" I asked carefully. He came even closer and slowly reached out for the edge of the boat. His fingers wrapped around it and pulled himself up to lean onto the side. I crept a bit further away but held his gaze. "Are we? I'll make it up to you." I began to grope around for my bag. "You want something to eat?" "You're a woman." I hadn't really expected him to speak up. His voice was strange. It sounded like someone had recorded it and it was now playing back to me in reverse. Simply hearing it was enough to make me deeply uncomfortable, but I tried not to show it. I had some trouble understanding him, so it took me a few seconds to answer. "You catch on fast," I replied. I don't know why I had to say it like that. Kind of rude, I mean, but I was so completely out of it. "The last one, I don't like women." His tone was flat and matter-of-factly. "Oh yeah?" I muttered. "Yes, I don't think I'm going to like you either." I bit my lip. At least I'm going to sound it like I'd outlive the job for a little longer. "When will Grayson come back?" the man asked. "Not at all, I'm afraid," I answered in a quiet tone. "Oh." He dropped back into the water, so only his head stuck out again. "Too bad. I'm not gonna pull a stunt like that again. I don't do that normally, but you really scared me," I argued. "I'm sorry." "Look, until Grayson comes back, this can go two ways." "He won't be back," I reminded him. The riverman raised his eyebrows. "Don't interrupt me. Two ways. Either I pull you under to drown, I'll wake up the snake, so I'll swallow you whole." Just after saying this, he broke into a wide smile. I would have called it pleasant underneath different circumstances. "I said I was sorry," I protested, crawling up to the water a little. "And I forgive you," he replied. "This time." He glanced me up and down before adding, "I'm pretty sure you'll mess up again, though." "But you'll leave me be for now?" He nodded. "Thanks," I said. He rolled his eyes. It appeared that he wanted to go under again, so I hurriedly called out once more. "Wait, who are you? Like, what's your name?" I paused at the look he gave me. "I mean, if you have one." "Fire." "Fire?" I repeated, slightly confused. I didn't want him to get angry again, so I shut up after that. Still, he didn't make a move to dive back in. Instead, he kept staring at me, his head tilted a bit. At first, I didn't get what he was waiting for, but when I did, I hurried to pull myself together. "Oh, sorry, it's Gina." He raised his brows and gave me the tiniest nod before drawing back underwater, his red hair trailing after him. I was left sitting alone in my boat out on the lake, still as a statue. It was only minutes after I realized something. Fire had mentioned a snake. Alright, I hope you guys enjoyed today's story, and thank you for listening. Now, huge thanks to the Redditor, the girl from the crypt, for allowing me and granting me permission to narrate your series, and this is an ongoing series, so guys, stay tuned. Thank you. Now once more, I hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you guys in the next story. So, don't forget to sit back, relax, and indulge in fear.